All right, good evening. Well, I'm up here again. I said I'd be back. I didn't realize how soon it would be. I told Dave that I wanted to speak again. I should have known that he'd put me back up here. Funny thing is, I didn't realize that I'd be up here until Dave sent out that worship planning schedule a couple months ago for September and saw my name on that list. And I thought, all right, let's do this. But I'm not going to lie, I told Dave that I wanted to speak here again. But honestly, it scares me being up here. And I don't really want to be up here. It's not easy being up here, especially for me. I'm the quiet guy. I don't like being the center of attention. I don't like talking about myself, and especially openly in front of a whole bunch of people. So why am I up here, again, talking to a whole bunch of people about something very personal to me? But in all actuality, you're not just a whole bunch of people. You're my church family. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you're my family. I shouldn't be worried about what I say up here tonight. No matter what I say, I believe you'll all forgive me for what I may have said wrong. And hopefully when I finish, you'll understand what I meant by forgiveness. So I had a talk with Dave a couple days ago about spiritual activeness. And it's one thing I want to work on, trying to be more spiritual active. Because I believe we're all called to do something. God has given us all talents and skills. And we need to recognize how we can use those talents and skills to glorify God. So I'm up here delivering a message, God willing, his message. And I hope I can convey that all to you. It's like I said last time, we're all called to do something. And a man's got to do what a man's got to do. So hopefully you all find what you're called to do. And even if you're scared, do it anyways. Because I find that you can use that fear as a superpower. And you can use it to motivate yourself to do something that you're scared to do anyways. So for me today, it's speaking to all of you. We'll see what God has planned for me tomorrow. But tonight, I hope that God can speak through me and into your hearts. So, my church family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my family, have you ever felt wronged? Have you ever felt cheated, lied to, betrayed? Have others done things to you, either intentionally or not, that you felt hurt by their actions or words? We all know the answer to that question is yes. Even as children, we can realize that pain that comes from others and their actions. At some point, maybe even currently, someone has wronged you. Was it a stranger, a coworker, a friend, a family member, or even a church family member? Was it something that shocked you that you couldn't believe that they would say or do that to you? How does that make you feel? Do you feel angry? Hurt, sad. Their actions spark this emotion inside you, and now you have to live with this feeling in your heart. It's now part of you, this feeling. It stays with you, whatever you do in your mind. It's something that if someone were to say or bring up the person's name or you to see the person, it's the first thing you think of, and it's the only thing you can think of. So how do you cope with something like that? And it doesn't matter what they did, whether it was intentional or not. Maybe they didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Maybe they didn't even think that it would hurt your feelings. It was just something they were doing. But how does it affect you? Emotionally, like I said, it's the only thing you can feel towards that person. Physically, you're drained of energy from thinking about what that person said or did. What about spiritually? Do you think how this feeling could affect you spiritually, how it affected your relationship with God? So now you have this grudge against this person. And if you let that fester long enough, it can turn into anger or hatred toward this person. You now have what's called a grievance in your heart towards this person. And I say grievance because it's a heavy word. And when you say grievance, you can hear the word grief, Kind of like Charlie Brown, good grief, grief. Grievance, by definition, it means to have a real or imagined cause for complaint, especially under unfair treatment. A complaint or resentment against an unjust act or unfair act. It's kind of like an affront or an injustice. So I like to look at the root meaning of words. I brought up grief earlier. But take my name, for example, Christopher. It comes from a Greek name. It takes Christo and furrow, and it mashes them together, which furrow happens to mean to bear, and Christo, Christ. Christopher means to bear Christ, to be a bearer of Christ. Speaking of being called out, my parents called me out 27 years ago to be a bearer of Christ. So grief and grievance, they come from the same French word, which means burden. And that word comes from a Latin word, which means heavy or grave. So when you have a grievance in your heart, it's a burden. It's heavy on your heart. It's a grave. When you have this hate or anger in your heart, it's like a poison. There's this old saying from a philosopher, holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. There's no room for love in your heart when anger resides there. Your anger will consume you. This grievance, it's a grave in your heart, and it will poison you, and it will eat away at you. It's a grave, and a grave means death. And you know what word goes well with death? Sin. But what is sin? We all know what sin is. We're all here at church. There are different sins, and we as humans, for some reason, assign different reasons or different values to sin. And sin, at its core, is death. To God, He doesn't view them as value. All sin, any sin, is an affront to God. God is love. God is life. Sin is the opposite of God. It's hate and it's death. When we sin, we make ourselves enemies of God. We wrong God when we sin. We create a grievance with God every time we sin. So how is there hope in a world when we wrong God daily? Most of you know the answer to that. It's another reason why you're here. It's forgiveness, God's forgiveness. So let's talk about God's forgiveness and what it means to forgive. During Jesus' crucifixion, in Luke chapter 23, verses 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." This is while Jesus is being crucified. Jesus was beaten, tortured, spat upon, mocked, and crucified. And he asked his Father to forgive those people responsible for doing it. He asked for those who weren't sorry for what they were doing to him. They wanted to crucify him. It was their goal. Yet he still asked his Father if they could be forgiven, for they know not what they are doing. Does that seem right to you? Wouldn't you be angry? I think Jesus was a little angry, as perfect as he was. And Jesus has been angry a time or two, usually at Pharisees or apostles who weren't thinking clearly. But he only does it to make a point. Regardless, even if he was angry at the crucifixion, he still asked for forgiveness to those people who were actively killing him. Did he have to forgive them? Like I said, they weren't sorry. They were actively wronging Jesus. Jesus chose to forgive those who wronged him simply because, like I said, they know not what they are doing. Earlier we sang 10,000 angels. As you heard in the chorus, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. That way you can see what I'm talking about here. It's Romans 5, it's going to be verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for all of us that we might be forgiven for our sins. That's why he didn't call 10,000 angels that day to save him. He went through it for each and every one of us so that we may be forgiven. He swallowed whatever anger he may or may not have had. And he went through it. He swallowed his anger and he forgave those responsible, or he asked his Father to forgive those. Personally, he probably forgave them. But we haven't even sinned yet. We're not even alive. This is 2,000 years ago, and God still died for us. I don't think any of us really deserve that forgiveness, but God offers it to us anyways. We wrong God daily by sinning, yet Jesus gives us a way to be forgiven for those sins. So now, church family, what about those grievances I mentioned earlier that you had towards other people? What about that anger we hold for one another? How do you think they compare to the grievance God has towards you? Every time we sin, it's an injustice or an affront to God, the creator of all things. That's got to make him angry, right? You're this enemy to God, yet Christ died for your sins so that you may be forgiven. Here are two scriptures that helped me in the past. Both are quotes from Jesus. I'll read them real quickly for you. One's from Matthew. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then again in Mark, Jesus said, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Basically, what Jesus just told you is that to be forgiven, you have to forgive. I know these problems that we can have with each other are tough. I know it doesn't feel right, and it's hard to, but you have to forgive. And how can you forgive someone who's wronged you? How can you forgive that pain that was caused? I tell you that you have to, because your salvation depends on it. So how do we go about doing that, forgiving those who have wronged us? We do it because God calls us to be together, or to be better. I'm going to read another scripture, and you can turn to it as well if you want. It's going to be in Colossians chapter 3. It's going to be verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now let's go through that list, things that I said, or, well, in Colossians said. Firstly, compassion. I've seen plenty of compassion in the church for one another. Compassion is pretty simple. All you have to do is care for each other. Kindness, that's simple. Just be nice to each other. Gentleness, just like holding on to something precious, you just have to take care and you'll be gentle. Patience. I talked a lot about that last time. It's pretty simple. Just always be there for one another and you'll find your patience. I don't know if you noticed, but I skipped humility. So let's go back to that. What does it mean, humility? It means you have to take down your pride and be humble towards another person. It means that when you have this grievance towards someone else, it's your job to seek them out, throw away your pride that's been holding you back, find your humility, and fix the problem. Now, how do you do that? Fix the problem. Well, if you come towards that person with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and above all else, love, you'll find that the first and foremost thing is that you have to forgive them for what they did to you. I said first and foremost because you have to find that you have to forgive the person before you even know if they're sorry. Even if they don't deserve your forgiveness, even if they aren't sorry for what they did, you have to forgive them anyways. Why? Because like I said, your salvation depends on it. God will only forgive those who forgive others. We're all human. None of us are as perfect as Jesus. You have to forgive each other for not being perfect. They will make mistakes, and they don't always see their mistakes. And it's not your job to fix those mistakes. Forgiveness is the first step in a long process of healing these grievances. It's not going to take your anger away, but it's the first start. Here's this quote that I love. You may think that your only choices are to swallow your anger or throw it in someone's face. But there's a third option. You can just let it go. And only when you do that is it really gone and you can move forward. Swallowing your anger, that's just poison. Like I said earlier, there's no room for love in your heart with that anger. There's no room for God in your heart with that anger. And throwing your anger at someone's face, that won't solve your problem. All it's going to do is make things worse. Now they're angry at you for what you did to them. You have to find a way to let it go. It's not easy by any means. We're not God. We can't just look past people's shortcomings. We can't just forgive the sins and forget. We don't have that ability. But we have to learn to forgive anyways. We are called to love each other. We have to let go of that anger, those grievances, and possibly hate towards this person. And we have to let love take its place. It's not easy, but no one said it'd be easy. And following Christ is definitely not an easy thing to do. I've been on both ends of forgiveness with people that I care about. Sometimes things can be reconciled, sometimes they can't. I had two friends, and even though we hadn't talked in a year, I humbled myself, and I truthfully said that I was sorry for the things that I did, how I wronged them, and they forgave me. We were able to fix what I broke, and we became friends again. Sometimes it's not that easy, though. Sometimes, even though there has been this forgiveness between the two of you, you'll find that things can't be mended. Sometimes they just can't forget what happened. And the only way to truly be healed is to distance yourself from each other. And that's okay. Sometimes you can just let go and forgive, and God will go into your heart and he'll heal that anger. I don't know if most of you know this, but on Tuesday I got in a car accident. Obviously I'm fine. My car's in the shop. And I could easily be angry at the guy that hit me. It was his fault. He was drunk at the time. But I'm not angry at him. I don't hate him. He has his problems. He's only human. And I can easily forgive him. But obviously, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to take the money for the accident, because he messed up, and when you mess up, you get your punishment. But I forgive him for doing it. He's only human. So I definitely wrote more than I did last time. Hopefully my fear didn't cause me to skip lines again, which it didn't. Or I read too fast, tried to read kind of slow. Or freak out and run out of the room. I obviously didn't do that. You'll be seeing me up here again sometime. Hopefully I do better next time. Maybe I make it go a half an hour or so. But if I said anything tonight that you disagree with, that you feel is wrong, or maybe you were even hurt by something I said, then I have to say this to you: forgive me. I'm only human. I'm not perfect. I'm growing, and I'm trying to be a better person, and I'm trying to be spiritually active. Then, after you've forgiven me, come to me and tell me what I did wrong. Not out of hate, or not out of your own pride, because you know what is right, and you just have to tell me what I did wrong. Come to me with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and above all else, love, because you want me to grow and you want me to be a better person. These problems that we have with each other, these grievances, they're not what's important. It's not about being right. Who cares if you're right? You fool, it won't change anything if you're right. If you let this anger in your heart, then you're just shutting out love. You're not leaving any room for God. The only thing that is important is your relationship with God. Don't let others get between you and God. Don't let the world get between you and God. You have to let go of these earthly problems we have with each other. They're simple and stupid, and they're not what's important. So, get right, church, and let's go home.
Get right, church, and let's go home.
Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, you better get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Somebody's calling my name. Somebody's calling my name. Somebody's calling, yes, somebody's calling, oh. Somebody's calling my name. I'm going home on the morning train. Well, I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home, well, I'm going home, oh. I'm going home on the morning train. Evening train might be too late. Evening